I consider John Henry, without being theatrical, as a true son of Mary, a knight of Christ, of modern times. I ask everyone and to pray with all your hearts for this gentleman, for he has indeed a mission which is not ordinary, and he is under a great deal of attack. To pray for him and for his family.
This is very concerning for all the Catholics who have been following what's been going on with Pope Francis. So with Pope Francis came a scandalous document that they called the Abu Dhabi Declaration, which declared the diversity of religions as willed by God. And so that was very concerning. Also, that you've seen now Pope Francis, but also various bishops in the United States and cardinals and so on, talk about Ramadan, talk about, you know, the do engage, even Pope Francis, before he was Pope, engaging in the Jewish ceremonies at Jewish synagogues with rabbis and so on. You had Pope Francis with his friendship with the Episcopalian bishop there. He wanted to convert to Catholicism, and Francis told him not to. So you also have these, even under John Paul II, and actually Paul VI before him, you had these sort of gatherings of religious leaders all praying together. Everyone understood, I think, when John Paul II did it, he's praying for their conversions. Certainly doesn't seem that way with Pope Francis also doing the same kind of interreligious gatherings, but nonetheless. But then the idolatry thing was huge because the Pachamama was massive. With everybody, the whole wide world, watched them actually adore foreheads to the ground, the Pachamama idols. Francis is sitting right there watching it. And afterwards, they process the statues, these pagan idols, which he acknowledged as Pachamama, up to him, and he blessed them. Then they took them in a canoe and processed them into St. Peter's and put it in the middle of St. Peter's and formed a circle around it, the Pope and the cardinals and priests, and prayed around there. Then they put them into another church in Maria Transpontina to put them as idols in the church. They were then taken out, thanks be to God. But nonetheless, in Canada, when he came to Canada, they also engaged in a pagan ceremony with a indigenous shaman who asked them to put the cardinals and the Pope to put their hands on their chests and on their hearts and to close their eyes while he blew a sacred bone whistle or something from his pagan religion. And also literally called upon the Western grandmother, a god they believe, to open the door to the sacred circle of spirits so they could come and join them. An obvious pagan ceremony in which the Pope publicly participates with a few of the cardinals. So what you said about this kind of coming together of religions falsely, is that what we're seeing? Because it certainly seems that way. It begs the question that, is Pope Francis perhaps the false prophet, or what are we looking at?
For me, this incident with the Pachamama, John Henry, was for me a fork. It was for me evident anymore that I could not agree anymore with Francis as the head of the church, which de facto is. Although I spoke with the gentleman who translated my book from English to Spanish, is a professor of canonic law. So according to canonic law, according to him, Pope Francis is the head of the church de facto. But in regards to your question, what happening in the Vatican, on Vatican grounds?
Yeah.
We have to call a color white being white when we see it as such, was nothing less than complicity to idolatry, period. If you go into the Wikipedia and check the name Pachamama, you will see it's a Amazonian goddess. And we also, in front of our TV screens, these people on all fours adoring and praying the Pachamama to render the earth fertile to produce fruit. On the background, we could see Pope Francis smiling ever so benevolently in a very paternal manner and permitting this to happen. And as you said, to bring it forth inside St. Peter's Basilica, it was a disgrace. It's idolatry, period. That's it. You cannot excuse something that is that radically opposite to the faith of the church. No, despite it all, yes, another Christ has been called, has been forewarned, and we know we are to expect him. I personally, what I see in Pope Francis, as I said, to this day, he has not yet attacked the principal foundation of the church, which is the Gospels and the Holy Sacrament of the altar. I think that he's committed that idolatry with the Pachamama, and that indeed he's committed other great wrongs. Fiducius supplicants is another example of what he's trying to, and his supporters are trying to bring forward to the Catholic Church, a new interpretation of our faith. I believe that the Antichrist that was foretold is yet to come. And this particular man will be literally the leader, will come where Pope Francis left off. I think, in retrospective, looking backwards, without any passion, without any emotions, that Pope Francis will have a great deal to account for at the time of his demise, of his death. He doesn't appear to be in very good health. I pray for himself. I pray that he converts in time as well. But I think what is yet to come is going to be considerably harsher. And this, what is yet to come, and is imminent. And I'm referring to this in accordance with what I've heard from some of the parties that I work with, so much in France, as well as with some messengers of God that are today active. These events are the step, the doorstep. We are almost there. We must pray for those poor souls that are literally condemning themselves. The situation is indeed very grave. I had an English fellow, I don't know if I mentioned this in your show, a friend of mine, his name is Jeffrey, we'll leave it to that, terrific chap. And he's Anglican. So when the Pachamama incident took place, told me, "Oh, you Frenchman, you'll see that your Pope, your Vicar of Christ, has committed idolatry. How could you possibly justify such a thing, old boy?" No? And that's what Maduk, no, I was trying to justify the unjustified. And then he told me, "Well, we Anglicans know better. And what's more, do you know how we English and the Anglicans call your Pope? We call him the Pacha Pada." Gotcha. I thought to myself, goodness, what am I to answer to that sort of thing? But I understood the impression he gave. Because I would not admit that to a non-Catholic, naturally. I will tell you a secret, which you will not repeat. And the secret is this. Pope Francis is surrounded himself with people that have committed and that are declaring, that are sponsoring most anti-Catholic supposed virtues. Cardinal Fernandez is a perfect example of this, an author of the most theatrical books, now two books that he's renowned for, which are nothing less but pure debauchery and scandal. No, he surrounds himself with the likes of Father James, who supports homosexuality. Homosexuality in itself is not a crime. It's falling to the sin of homosexuality that goes against nature and against the law of Christ. No. While at the same time, in the country of the United States, in Texas, he fires exemplary bishops of the likes of His Excellency Bishop Strickland. Now, is the world in reverse? The civil war has definitely begun. However, the temptation to leave the church, to accuse, to rebel against the church, is still one. He is there. It is a trap. It appears to me. I am not an authority. I'm certainly not Father Renato Walter. But from all the messages I've learned, I've read, I've studied, I wrote about, I know that the message of the Virgin Mary is conversion through prayer, trust, not losing one's head, not condemning, not falling into the same trap that those who are today leading the church by condemning traditions, by pointing fingers, by trying themselves to show the virtue of charity, by accepting everyone, not making them feel bad. When true charity, in fact, according to the message of the Virgin Mary, is to give those who fall into error all the instruments that will make them go back to the straight path, to the path shown by the Son, Jesus Christ. The vision was clear. In all her apparitions, she said, "I've come to repeat the same message that I brought forth 2,000 years ago in an ever so obscure little village in Israel called Cana. Do everything my Son does."
One of the interesting things about your belief, which I think is accurate, there's a lot of parts to it, because we're just at the doorstep and we haven't really got to what's coming, which will be worse. That might make people gulp. We have to remember our Lord it promised us, you know, like, you don't have to worry. When the time comes, I'll give you the words to say. I always read in his words also, don't worry, when the time comes, I will also give you the grace to sustain yourself in the times that come. I just read beautiful testimonies from Jimmy Lai and also from another, a pastor who was in jail in China. And they're suffering brutally because they actually have guards with them all day and all night to make sure they don't pray. That's the thing. They don't want them to pray. So, I mean, of course, they can pray lying down. You can pray in any fashion you want. So you don't always have to be on your knees, although they'd love to, I'm sure. But they both testify how Jimmy Lai, a good Catholic, no mass because he's incarcerated, no opportunity to pray. This pastor as well. But they both testify how they're closer to Jesus now in incarceration than ever before. That's great hope for me because, you know, unless you're really tough, like there's probably some soldiers out there who think, let the persecution come, I can stand anything. I'm not like that. If I thought rationally about it, oh gosh, if they go to bend your arm, you're going to say, okay, whatever, I'll do whatever. But if we have the grace to know that Christ is going to be with you and we can therefore, with Christ, I can do all things. And that means suffer through whatever. That means endure whatever is put upon us, which might mean torture and death or whatever it is. But with the grace of Christ, we'll be able to do that. That's a trust I think we need to have, particularly talking about, ooh, we're just at the start, it might get worse. Because it's not only a physical torture and suffering and death that is coming and is here, it's also spiritual. And a lot of us with kids, I've talked to so many parents who've come up to me and said, you know, I remember talking to this one lady, 9 kids. She looks to be our age. And she said to me, I have 9 children. They're adults. They've all left faith. All left faith. And her and her husband are holy. They're daily mass Catholics trying to live the faith. That kind of suffering that's a torture that is, to me, unimaginable. But it's still in those circumstances we have to trust. These are good, good people. These are people who go to daily mass, who offer up all of their sacrifice and sufferings in unity with the holy sacrifice of the mass. Jesus said in his revelations to St. Placida, prayer was Jesus and trust in you. And having that trust, even in the midst of the absolute, you know, devastation of what's going on with the children, is so essential today because of what you say is still to come. It's much worse than what we're already at. So that brings me to the next election, the next conflict. Because if this sounds like Francis himself isn't the false prophet, and if I'm not mistaken, the false prophet is one who will actually point to Antichrist as Messiah. Is that not right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So if Francis is not him, we can then suspect that, is it for sure that the false prophet will be a pope, or is that not clear?
It's not been said exactly in those terms, but it's evident. In regard to, before I go to that, what you just said about family and what is to come, I'm a father as you. I know exactly what you meant. However, I do believe, for instance, in this sea of mediocrity we live in, there is hope. The message of the Virgin Mary in orbit around faith and hope. One example, you. All these people have Star of Bethlehem, you, Monique Turnbull, Ron Ray, Christine Bacon, so many others. Michael Mack, he's a terrific chap, you know, and others. There is a resistance, and it got right straight on cut lines. You are there to give, bring forth the truth for which God was crucified, Christ was crucified for. We must not despair. What's more, in prophecies, with Marie Legion, among others, with Caravanat, which has not been condemned and still under investigation, famously, by the local bishop, there is a prophecy informing us about the warning, a moment of extraordinary mercy of our Lord, when the time where everyone, no matter their status or their station of life or their faith, will be aware that such a notion as a God that Christ was his son and that the church founded on Peter is the church of the Son of God. It will be brief and will last for 6 weeks. That will mean massive conversion. It's hope for me as a father. Myself, my children, very much like yours, I am certain, are in love with their faith, with Christ and with the Catholic Church, with Catholic faith. There are others, like you said, that have their hearts shattered. That's what differentiates us between those who have faith in natural faith and those that do not. We must completely put stock unconditionally and blindly into our faith into Christ. If I'm not into this, and I don't have the authority, but I'm absolutely certain that it is correct for all those who decide willfully, after listening to your shorts, plural, and to the message of the Virgin Mary, and to the guidance you give them, among other heads of podcast, if they say yes, if they answer yes to this invitation, and we say to this spiritual mobilization in this war we are all involved in, I assure you that God will respond accordingly and will protect you and those that you ask protection for. God cannot act in any other way. With Marie's Déjeuner, conclude on, I know it could be long-winded, but to Marie's Déjeuner, our Lord said, in one instance, those who place completely and blindly and unconditionally a trust in me, force my hand. Mm-hmm. I must come to their rescue when they totally, blindly place their trust in me.
Mm-hmm.
God is no liar. So that to me is the faith, the hope, l'espérance,
mm-hmm.
that God gives us through our faith and through the apparitions that he's sending over and over again. For some reason, we have to wonder why those servants send again his Blessed Mother to bring forth the same message. Could it be perhaps because the church might have failed to echo that which they were entrusting to Pope to Pistomiso?
So what about that next conclave? I mean, this is for a lot of people a big question. We are coming, obviously, to the end of the term of Pope Francis. Just health-wise, he's been declining rather obviously. He said at the beginning he'd probably only be there 3 or 4 years. It's now gone on 11 years. But his health is very much in decline. He's been more and more having to give up audiences and so on for hospital trips. And the Vatican is they usually say, oh, it's nothing. That's the way they do it. But it's obviously coming. A lot of the Vatican watchers are already prepping for a next conclave. It's serious because 99 of the 120 electors have been appointed by Pope Francis. There is, people think, oh, well, likely a conservative will come in because they've seen too much rancor from Francis. We're going to swing back the other way. Others are saying, no way. He's appointed 99 of the 120. What, we're going to get somebody who is exactly like him or even worse. Do you have any thoughts that way? Do the prophecies have any indication that way as to where we are, what we might see, or what we might expect?
All the prophecies that I've studied with, that I wrote about, mention of a future pope, yes. But a pope that will be an angelic pope, who will be brought forth on the seat of Peter when the seat will be emptied temporarily in a time of world conflict, in a time of European invasion. Now, in regard to the popes that will follow this one, I would borrow a sentence that Joan of Arc, among others, was known for. God first served. If the next pope, they do not know who he will be, you're right, by the way, and this shows also another discrepancy, a paradox, a contradiction of sorts when a head of the church tries, by all means, not to rely on the justice and kindness and goodness of the Holy Spirit in the process of election through the conclave, that tries to push a human factor, right, instituting or placing cardinals carefully, surgically, chosen to reach a particular result. That shows, it appears to me as a Catholic, lack of faith and a form of manipulation. Notwithstanding, God again writes straight on curved lines. If God decides something, those are the words of Father Laurentin. If something comes truly from God, there's nothing that man or angel can do to stop it from seeing the light of day. So if that happens, it will be permitted, tolerated, up to a point. And the one factor, the one point, according to Paris Déjeuner, La Salette, Fatima, and other places, including common ongoing operational cases that I'm working on and I wrote about, the one cornerstone, the one point of reference that will make God no longer tolerate the infamies of what happens today within our church will be when the Roman Catholic Church will institute a new liturgy which will render the Holy Sacrament of the altar as invalid. Mm-hmm. And when the true worshipers, the true believers of Christ and of the dogma of faith, the deposit of the faith, will be forced to adore the Holy Sacrament of the altar in secret, like in the time of the catacombs. This will be the pivotal time, according to prophecies. But God's concern, and when I say God, in his dogma, in his church, in his holy sacraments, particularly the Holy Eucharist.
One of the things that is going on, there's a few references that also, especially with regard to Garmendahl, which, as you said, it, while not proved, is under, seemingly favorably under the process. Also, as you told me on the show before, that Padre Pio believed in very strongly. That particular apparition has a lot of interesting timelines for us. We just heard recently that the Pope might visit Moscow in June. Now, it's still rumored. The Vatican tried to say no, but a Russian is coming. Yes. We're not sure what that's about. But in addition, I'll get you to explain what that pertains to in a second. But also, we know that the warning is to come around the time of a synod. At the time when the girls received the message, they didn't know what a synod was. And they wondered, are you sure you don't mean a council? No, Our Lady's at a synod. But it was a particularly some big synod. Well, a synod is going on now. They've been going on since 2014 when Francis first sort of started them. But this is a particularly interesting one. It's the synod on synodality. It's already resulted in some pretty big insanity, which gave us Fiducia Supplicans. But it's going to go on again this October.
Next.
The Holy Father apparently is to meet in June in Moscow. And after the return from Moscow, after the Pope returns to Rome after Moscow, there's supposed to be something big. Give us that, what those things are. And then what do you think, based on that, of what's going on right now, at least with regard to Garmendahl's prophecy?
Brilliant. With this story, and I know this also from my friends in France, one of which is one of the many ex-collaborators of Father René Laurentin. The Pope right now in Rome has been trying since early last year to initiate diplomatic avenues, open diplomatic contact with the Russian embassy in the Holy See. Yeah. The purpose of this was to try to establish some sort of communication between Ukraine and Russia. He's been trying to insert himself diplomatically as an intermediate mediator between the parties involved. He has failed. His trip to Mongolia that took place a few months ago was meant was an attempt, and it appeared a serious one, to meet with the Archpatriarch of the Orthodox Church in one of the living rooms or salons of the international airport of Moscow. The latter refused. He didn't want to do so because we know for a fact from contacts and acquaintances that right now, and for the past year or so, year and a half, the Vatican has been under overwhelming diplomatic pressure by the heads of states of the European Union and by the Americans not to try to even appear as trying to open diplomatic avenues with Russia without first ensuring the same thing with Ukraine and trying to push him away. Because right now, the avenue of peace is not a convenient one for the parties involved. But he has been at immense pressure. He's still trying to, like a soap in a wet hand, to fulfillate himself, to place himself in a position which de facto will be forcing him to be recognized as an intermediary between all the belligerent parties at that hand. He has failed. Indeed, it seems that although it's a rumor, he's been trying to organize this appointment in Russia. Russia is open, according to what I've heard from Prague, is open to the notion, because they themselves, if they find something that is acceptable, they will accept to open a dialogue. That doesn't make me Putinist for saying so. I'm just telling cold facts. Now, regarding Garmendahl, you're absolutely quite right. As you mentioned, and I will tell you another secret, which not many people know. Father Laurentin was quite agnostic about Gentleman Dan. The man and I were excellent friends because we came from the same milieu, the same circles of French society. He went to, he did World War II. He fought for France. And I had two of my uncles joined General de Gaulle in 1940. So we esteemed each other. He could have been my grandfather. But I disagreed with him on this subject. And I knew when to cut the conversation out of respect. For me, the cornerstone of what made me believe the Catalan Diet was authentic were true. Two cornerstones. The Catholic Church, first of all, has never condemned it, and they had many chances to do so. Second of all, a mystic, what's more, a Calendarist mystic, who was a stigmatist, what's more, and a world-renowned one, Padre Pio, formally approved and recognized and confirmed the authenticity of the apparition case of Garabandal. He even wrote two letters to the children of Garabandal, one of which had a photo in Italian and the text translated into English. So how could one be reconciled with the other? It appeared to me, nevertheless, John Henry, goodness gracious, that if indeed a man who has been canonized is truly from God, how could he possibly promote a falsehood? No? God would have told him so. So in my point of view, if one thing is true, the other has got automatically to be, and vice versa. And if something is false, so would be the other thing. That was my conclusion. As a matter of fact, I did not condemn Garabandal, but myself, it was not certain. It was so different from all the other apparitions I see proved. He was pivotal in the approval process. So in regards to this prophecy, you're quite right. The Virgin Mary told Conchita Gonzalez. It was described in a conversation she had with her mother in the kitchen of their home, the Santander de Garabandal. So, and they were talking, and she was telling, well, mother, yes, the Virgin told me that, first of all, there would be four popes from after this one. She said for three popes. And then she corrected herself, said, no, there would be four. But one of them will reign for such a small amount of time, they will not count. I think it was better. So obviously she referred to John Paul I, who lived on 33 days and passed away under most suspicious circumstances. I refer to the book of Murder of the 33rd Degree, if I stand there firm. And anyway, she continued and she said, and after the fourth pope, we will be living the end of times. There will be a great synod, and it will be a time when the pope will go to Moscow. And that immediately she was interrupted again by her mother. Un synod, no, quieres decir un consejo. A synod, no, you want to mean council. Because synods were known only by bishops. It was a very technical term used by others of you. She said, no, a synod. And she didn't understand what it meant. But it is exactly what's happening right now. And a synod of synodality, if it has proven, beside that ridicule doesn't kill, it's the fact that today a prophecy which has been foretold is taking place today, as we know. And the synod of synodality, it does not forget either that a Catholic Church is not a democracy, is it? It is monarchy. With God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit as our King, the Blessed Virgin Mary as the Queen, and the Church as the princess of the Church. Anyway, in this instance, the prophecy goes that during this moment of synod, there will be a pope indeed who will go to Moscow and will come back after an utter failure. And at that moment, upon his return to Rome, there will be new military conflicts of utmost gravity in different points of Europe. Now, Glenn Hudson is a friend of mine, just a terrific chap. He is indeed the one party chosen by Conchita Gonzalez to reveal when the time our battle takes place, as per the instructions that the Virgin Mary has given to Conchita Gonzalez. So, he's a terrific chap. He's very set in his ways, absolute values, and I respect him. He was told that the Virgin Mary told Conchita Gonzalez there will be no Third World War. When this information was given to her, it was in the middle or at the end of the Euro-Cuban missile crisis. I, for one, again, I'm not Father Lamartine, but it appears to me that that message was meant for the context of the time, that the Third World War would not start as a result of this crisis. But if we had to listen to other visionaries such as La Salette, formally approved contrary to Garabandal, there will be a Third World War, which will end up, among other things, in the destruction of three major cities. Rome will be hit. Well, there will be a Third World War, and possibly that could come from these future military events that will take upon the return of the Pope on Moscow. That is the prophecy given in Garabandal, that the Pope will return from in this period of time of the Synod in sheer failure, and then new conflicts in Europe will start. Cody.
I just want to encourage everyone. I mean, we are living in times of the revelations, obviously, and this is a great book for you to get to be able to study. Xavier is a man of great faith who has spent his life working for the faith, for love of the faith. I'd encourage you very much to get the book and to pray for Xavier and his great work. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Andrew. And if you permit me, I met a great many people who defend the faith on both sides of the Atlantic. I met men who claim to be or trying to pretend, others that are absolutely of extraordinary value. I consider John Henry, without being theatrical, as a true son of Mary, a knight of Christ of modern times. I ask everyone and to pray with all your hearts for this gentleman, for he has indeed a mission which is not ordinary, and he is under a great deal of attack. To pray for him and for his family, and you, mon ami, you have my friendship and my support.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
And you.
And God bless all of you. And we'll see you next time.
Hi, everyone. This is John Henry Weston. We hope you enjoyed this program. To see more like it, be sure to hit the subscribe button below to get all the latest content from LifeSite News. Check the links in the description to read more and connect with us on social media so that you can stay up to date with all the latest life, family, faith, and freedom news. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you.